Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, you can see the people out there kayaking when you see this song, can't you? People be swimming this Saturday. Triathlon, Lifetime Fitness, 16th annual. And it's become quite an event. Over 1,800 people will be involved. I remember that it must have been the first year they started, I was there. And to see all those people going to Lake Nokomis by itself is fun. Scott Hootie Hootmaker is the, it's Hootmaker, right?
Hootmaker.
Very good.
Yeah. He's the brand manager for this thing and has been doing it for a number of years producing this thing. And he joins us in studio. Scott, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
What you know, when you I would always think triathlon, really, really hard, that's a limited market. Then you tell me there's going to be 1,800 people just at the Minneapolis event. Who are all these people? Where are they training? Where are they coming from?
28 states.
28 states.
And two countries. So Minneapolis is a hotbed for triathlon. This is our 16th year, you know, at the Lifetime Tri Minneapolis. What's beautiful about Minneapolis is the setting. You know, this beautiful parkland. We're set at Lake Nokomis. Great, small, quaint lake. Amazing roadways down there. The roadways are entirely shut down to traffic as well, which makes this course really unique compared to some other races out there. And it's been drawing locals, professionals, amateurs, first timers for all those years.
What is Minneapolis unique in the way it lays out for a triathlon, or is it like a lot of others?
No, I would say it's certainly unique. Lake Nokomis, again, is the center point for this.
Mm-hmm.
The swim takes place right there. The run course actually loops around the lake once or twice. And then we use a lot of the roadways that surround the parkland. A lot of neighborhoods that are actually impacted by this as well who come out and cheer for the athletes, set out sprinkler stations and their own aid stations. And just, you know, it is a fabric of the Minneapolis community.
Do you like, in general, you're from Chicago.
I am.
Do you like an urban setting for a triathlon if you can get it?
I would say that's one of our unique points in Lifetime Triathlon. We produce 8 races across the country. The largest are in New York City and then Chicago. And Minneapolis is a close third to that. And that urban setting, you know, giving our athletes an experience that they can't get any other time of the year. We're closing down roadways that are, you know, they're busy as heck with traffic and just everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to work with the cities and these municipalities who have a great relationship with us for many, many years, they give us a lot of rights away. And that's the real appeal, is to give athletes something that they can't get any other day of the year.
That's my next question, is how do you work with the politics that are in place? I guess I've never thought about that, but every time there's a parade, every time there's a something,
sure,
there has to be some major initiative beforehand to get approval, permits, whatever it is. Yep. What is that process?
So each region, each community, each municipality is a little bit different, but the stakeholders are relatively the same. Local police, local fire, aldermen, mayors, you know, anybody in the government office, you have to basically file a special event permit.
Okay, sometimes that's where it starts?
That's typically where it starts, yes. And then it branches out from there. So if we do want to close down roadways, we have to work with the relative agencies who manage the roadways in each city. Then we're getting into police and fire to manage, you know, just contingencies. We always have to have a plan for any kind of scenario,
right,
that might happen. And we have to file a lot of paperwork and planning just to make sure that whatever might happen, we've got it taken care of.
Now I know this is old hat to you to an extent because you've done so many of them. But where does that begin and end in terms of, you talk about emergency, you're talking about people that are active, you're talking about the potential for injury, all those things. You've got water involved, you've got lots of things that could be problematic that you have to anticipate. Now, the good news is you've got people that are in unbelievable physical shape, which helps your confidence. But how do you begin working and planning and deciding, okay, we needed EMTs here, an ambulance there, whatever? How does that work?
A lot of this is learned over the years.
I'm sure, yeah.
To come in and start an event from scratch at scale, it's nearly impossible these days. You have to come in and start small and prove that you know what you're doing, prove that the athletes are going to have a great experience, prove that you're not impacting the community for the negative reasons. And when all those jive, then the city starts to give you more and more access to,
okay,
to the services. And again, 16 years later, the Minneapolis Triathlon is just it is a really unique sport in an event in that we give athletes something that nobody else can get in Minneapolis.
What is the age range that we'll see here?
So this is a unique race. We actually have a juniors competition. We have athletes as young as 13 years old and as old as 86.
86 you're topping out at?
Yep. We have an 84-year-old female coming in from Anchorage, Alaska.
Come on.
This is a hotbed for triathlon. You've got to believe that.
And they will do a different triathlon in terms of miles? And how do you categorically get them in the right spot?
That's a great question. The word triathlon connotates a lot of fear and sometimes an assumption of what Ironman might be.
Right.
And if you're familiar with Ironman, that's a 17-hour race, 140 total miles. We are not Ironman. We are what we call international or Olympic distance, which is what they do in the Olympic Games right now. And the standard distance is about a mile swim. It's a 25-mile bike ride, and then it's a 10K run. So it's a six-mile run.
Yep.
So that's our international. That's our longest distance. And then if you're not ready for that, then we have what's called the sprint distance, which is half of that distance. And if you're not ready for that, we have a super sprint, which is about a quarter-mile swim. It's a six-and-a-half-mile bike, and then it's about a two-mile run.
Now, anybody can sign up for that?
Anybody.
Okay.
Believe it or not, only about 11% of our athletes are really hyper-competitive. They're out there to win. That's the other misperception of triathlon is that everybody has to be, you know, forgive the analogy, but Michael Phelps or Lance Armstrong mm-hmm. or these type A, 4% body fat, hardcore individuals. And the reality is that most of us are just average Joes who wanted to take a risk and try something really unique. And as kids, we all know we swam, we biked, we ran. When we put those things together in our heads as adults, we complicate everything. And that's part of our goal at Lifetime Try.
So you got to educate them.
We have to educate.
Educate guys like me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now to me, I don't know, I've never done one, but to me, you'd be competing against yourself.
That's right.
Is that what you try to sell philosophically? Is this is about you conquering your inner fears or whatever it is and proving to yourself that you can do something and forget about what place you finish?
It's a little bit of that. We do have some who like to compete against what we call your age groups. So we do group you into, you know, every 5 years, male, female, gender, we group that into what we call an age group. And you do compete against them internally, but it depends what drives you, I guess, to answer your question. If you are wanting to take that risk, we don't want you to think about time or your peer group or anything else apart from you finishing that race and having a great experience, because then you're going to come back. If you do want to go compete, hit the podium and think about hitting a championship
slot. Huh?
It's there.
Okay, now this would be my fear of myself would be, okay, I'm just going to, all I want to do is finish. Then you get there and your adrenaline takes over and you say, now I want to win or, you know, go side. And now I don't know how to pace myself. So therefore, I get in the water and I swim as fast as I can. And then halfway through, I'm tired out. Mm-hmm. Does this happen often?
All the time. You know, there's no such thing as a perfect day of triathlon mm-hmm. because there are so many variables at stake. There's weather, there's humidity, there's terrain. Sometimes you've got hills. Sometimes you have warm water or choppy water or what have you. You'll never have the same race twice. But taking time to experience the sport and coming back time after time, you kind of get used to what might happen. And you know your body more so than anything. You know how hard you're pushing. You know what kind of nutrition and hydration you need to be on target with. And you know what your training was all about. So I know we'll get into this, but having a coach and just getting acclimated into the space is what really helps people be successful. Because there's a lot of noise out there. You know, triathlon, there's so much. And you've got to have a great bike and you've got to have a really expensive wetsuit.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, yeah.
No, not necessarily. We can find you the bare basics for a couple of $100. You can use your existing mountain bike if you wanted to or your neighbor's 3-speed. Go out there and have fun your first time. And when that bug sets in, then you're going to set sail.
Do most of the people that participate in it train specifically for a triathlon or are some of them just in good shape and they go, I want to try a try?
Great question. Most of these are single sport athletes who wanted to branch out and do something different.
Okay.
So the majority of them will train specifically for the swim, the bike, and the run, and to merge some of those workouts together, which we call a brick workout. So you're going to go swim, then you're going to bike immediately afterwards, or your bike, and they'll run right off the bike. So you do experience what race day will bring. We don't encourage anybody to sign up and then to walk up on race day and just expect.
And just give it a try?
Yeah.
You got to know something.
You have to
about your body and about what to expect. Okay. We got plenty more to come, and I don't want to steal the thunder of some of our next guests that we'll bring into the conversation as well. When we come back, we'll visit with a lifetime coach, Lance Leo. He prepares people for just that. This is Sports to the Max on WCCO. Welcome back. Talking about the Lifetime Fitness Triathlon coming to Lake Nokomis and the area this Saturday, 16th annual. And I'm just fascinated by triathlons and how you put them on and how you train, because to me, it's not about training for a triathlon. It's about overcoming someone's fears and taking them out of their comfort zone and seeing what they can do when they get there. Scott Hootie, Hootmacher, is in studio with us, the brand manager for it. He produces them. Lance Leo joins us by phone. He is a master triathlon coach. Lance, thank you for joining us tonight.
Well, Mike, hey, thanks so much for having me. It's a delight to be here.
So, Lance, tell me, you've got the person out there that's in pretty good shape, that works out a little bit, and they say, okay, the next step for me, the progression, is I want to do a triathlon. What do you say when you sit down with them? Where does that start?
You know, one of the key things, there's obviously a lot of points that we can hit, but, you know, I often say we don't have a lot of time, right? That's the most limited resource we have. So what I try to get a handle on right away, Mike, is, hey, how much time do you have disposable to maintain the peace at home and work and all that thing, all those other variables out there? And also then to be able to get the job done, right, to get out there and have a blast. So that's probably one of the first things we try to address.
You need to find out how much disposable time they have.
Exactly. Because, yeah, you know, the funny thing is, Mike, most people, when they think of triathlon, they think it's Ironman.
Yep.
We're kind of fed that through the NBC coverage and all that. But there's a lot of fun in just the sprint triathlon distance. I try to help people realize you do not have to train 20 hours a week to be super fit and enjoy the sport of triathlon. So if you have about 3 to 5 hours, you can get pretty legit and get ready to go and have a fun time out there on the course.
I'm sorry, 3 to 5 hours a week? What?
Yeah. Totally. You give me 3 to 5 hours a week.
If I turn my life over to you for 3 to 5 hours,
yeah,
for how many months?
If you gave me 12 weeks, Mike, and you're starting from basically almost ground zero and you're not terrified of the water, I'd get you race ready in 12 weeks.
Scott, how do you work getting people to the right coaches so it's a good experience? How does Lifetime Fitness facilitate that?
You know, we're really unique in this space. We have 130 clubs nationwide. Mm-hmm. We have triathlons in 8 different markets nationwide as well. So what we do is we connect the dots. You know, Lifetime, our purpose is to be to lead and to inspire a healthy way of life. And with the clubs, we use our events as hooks, as retention tools to get our members committed to training for one of these events. And again, taking this risk and just taking this personal journey, we connect those dots to guys like Lance. You know, Lance manages a whole fleet of triathlon coaches here in the Midwest. And Lance knows our events in and out, which as a coach, that's also key. So when you're selling a program, you're usually selling a race along with that. And for Lance to have not only the tools to get an athlete from A to Z, but to give them guidance of what to expect come race day, that's a very powerful combination.
Lance, I always hear that water creates the biggest fear for people. Does it? Yep. And how do you overcome it?
You know, what it comes down to is, as basic and as simple as it might sound, Mike, it really comes down to breathing, right? It's the only sport out there where your ability to breathe is completely controlled by the medium of water.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I really try to help with athletes is, hey, can you go underwater, right? Can you control those emotions that are running through your head when you can't see your hand in front of you? And so that's probably one of the key things, is teaching athletes how to breathe and how to sight, quite frankly, Mike, because who wants to swim 250 to, let's call it, 350 yards extra just because you don't know how to swim a straight line?
Oh, sure. So there's an efficiency to this that you have to learn.
Exactly. But I'll tell you right now, Mike, the first 3 years, all I did was breaststroke.
Okay.
That's all I knew, right? Yep. And that was 20-plus years ago. So I always try to encourage athletes to say, hey, look, you don't have to be the superstar swimmer. You just learn how to keep your head above the water a little bit, swim a straight line, control your emotions, and you're a rock star out there.
What would they use? What would be the stroke that they would use if they were competing to win and if time was everything to them?
Right on, yeah. So freestyle is the most efficient, most powerful, the fastest stroke you could use.
I like the butterfly. Could I do that?
You know, you just read my mind.
I could do it for 10 yards.
Yeah, if you wanted to be a hot shot and be a Phelps out there, I bet you could do that. That'd be intimidating. But, yeah, I mean, you could use whatever stroke you like, side stroke, breaststroke. I would not recommend backstroke because there's no way of really navigating when you look up to the sky and all you see are clouds. So I say last thing you want to do is ever go backstroke. Okay. Always, you know, yeah.
Like when I get into a pool or a lake or whatever and I'm swimming, I like to kind of go underwater for a little bit, come up, then backstroke, then, you know, breaststroke, all that. Can you get away with that as a way of kind of keeping you mentally loose?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's the one thing, like, it's a very uncontrolled environment, right? When you're in open water and there's hundreds of people around you, you have to work around them. So even just treading water, right? Lifting up your hand, sometimes even a lifeguard will come up to you and you can at least hold on to the kayak or whatever that they might have out there. Get yourself poised, breathe, and then continue on. So yeah, you have to start to figure out what works for you to bring the heart rate down and respiratory rate down a little bit.
Scott, you've done triathlons.
Sure.
What's your advice for the water part of it?
Relax.
Just relax. That is the key, isn't it? I mean, like life and performance, right?
You know, in Chicago and Minneapolis and Miami, we do a series of swim clinics. And having that firsthand experience of what it's like to be in open water with other people and simulating what race day will bring, that's the most powerful opportunity. You know, Lance does this in the pools at the Lifetime Clubs all the time. Swimming next to somebody and having a little inadvertent bump, you know, having somebody grab your ankle. And, you know,
you literally...
But
train that
putting
way.
Them through those motions is incredibly powerful because come race day, again, you never know what's going to happen, but you want to be prepared. And as much as you've been through the scenario, you know it when it happens, you can just relax because you know it'll all be okay.
Lance, can you train someone just in a pool? Do they eventually have to get in a lake and open water to really get on top of this, or can they train just in a swimming pool?
I would recommend kind of like a 75-25. Again, that depends on the athlete, but there's so much to be done in the pool technically that you can actually physically see with your own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you get into a Cedar Lake, a Nokomis, Harriet, all of a sudden those hands are gone. So you literally can't see much of anything. So I do feel like an athlete should start in the pool and then get into the open water with some sound advice.
Lance, how much is weight training important to a triathlon?
Oh, love it. Yeah, so... most people, most endurance athletes will default to doing more swimming, more biking, more running.
Right.
But eventually that lean muscle mass really becomes a big issue from an injury prevention perspective and ultimately from a performance perspective. So top folks out there are going to spend a good amount of their time in the weight room, off season, and some form of maintenance strength work in season as well. So it's critical if you want to stay in the game for the long haul, for sure.
I was just reading the Experience Life magazine that Lifetime puts out every week, and it was just talking about just that people tend to do what they do well and they enjoy, and that's fine, and to your point, biking or even running. But if you want a total body workout, you really do. And you hear this time and time again, Lance, that weight training is so important, and it's so important as we age.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I hate to say it like this, but you start to waste away, right? That muscle tissue, if it's not stressed, if you're not using those muscles, well, they're just not going to hang around much. So they will literally start to atrophy on you. So I'm a huge fan of strength, and ironically did a lot of alpha there at St. Louis Park this off season. And at 43 years old, Mike, I feel stronger than ever.
So, isn't that something?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm all in, right? I'm sold on the strength piece.
Yeah.
And if you want to be, like I said, as potent and as most powerful as you can be, strength training has to be part of the game.
And I got to tell you, one of the misnomers that we've learned over the years was, and I think my generation, your generation is the first one to really accept this, is that at one time the thought was at a certain age you couldn't build muscle anymore. And we have completely debunked that theory because I think it was more because people quit lifting weights. And once they realized, I mean, you look at Geraldo Rivera and Scott Pelley, you know, they're like, Geraldo's like 70, and there's these pictures of him with these huge biceps. Well, that's because he lifts weights all the time, and it doesn't matter that he's 70, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, you could be 85 years old, right, and still be lifting weights.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you may not lift the same that you were lifting when you were 40, but we need to maintain the bone density as well. We can't forget about that, right? So we don't want our bones to literally crumble. So that weight-bearing load, the weight-bearing element of strength training will also keep those bones stronger, as well as, you know, the muscles. So it's a win-win.
Lance, somebody listened to this and they say, well, it's too late for me this year, but I'm going to put it on my bucket list for next year. How should they start a year out? How should they begin to train?
Oh, man, I love these questions, Mike. You're spot on. You know, one thing I often say to my people when they come to me is, hey, where's the weak link? Mm-hmm. If you are unable to run, unable to bike, or unable to swim, I would say pick the weakest link, dial in with someone that you can trust, that has experience coaching, and, you know, has a good track record, right? So that's probably the most important advice I could share there, Mike, is, you know, find the right coach that's been around the block a few times, and can, you know, really narrow it down for you from a technical perspective.
Last question for you, Lance. We'll let you get back to your life. Do people train better, excel more in group settings or individual?
Mm. Another great one. I think what I have noticed in my 20-plus years of racing, it's now I feel a lot of people enjoy that group setting, right? That group setting of banging it out with other guys and girls, you know, whether it's five other people, but there's that social element to it, right? And so I find that, you know, most people benefit from a group setting. There's always going to be the lone wolf that wants to do his or her own thing the whole time. But I would say most athletes are going to be pushed outside their comfort zone within a group setting. And, you know, ironically, that's what I actually designed at St. Louis Park was the Tri Team, which is a group setting that we train 3 days a week. And it produces results. It's fun. It's sociable. It's results oriented. So, yeah, I mean, I think it comes down, Mike, ultimately on, you know, how everybody's wired. But, you know, it's a very individualized thing. But again, I come back to I want people pushing me when I'm training. So,
sure. Well, Lance, yeah. I appreciate it very much. If people want to get in touch, they can go to the Lifetime Fitness at St. Louis Park for you specifically or any Lifetime Fitness. They can find a coach, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, and sometimes it's hard to find things online. But if you email me, just simply email me at LLEO@lifetimefitness.com. That will get to me, and I'll make sure to get the right person in your presence.
Good stuff, Lance. Thank you for your time tonight.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much for your time. I look forward to meeting you at the club.
You bet. Absolutely. I go to St. Louis. I was at St. Louis Park today. I ran Cedar Lake down the railroad track. You ever work out of St. Louis Park, Scott?
Not at Lance's Park, no.
Okay, because you can go on a run there, which takes you down by one of the lakes in Minnesota, you know. I just ran that today, and it's gorgeous. We'll talk about that and much more. Triathlon Talk, Sports to the Max.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. I love this name, Scott Hootie Huttmacher. From Lifetime Fitness is on with us. He helps produce the event on Saturday. Leah Fishman is going to participate in her first triathlon. She joins us now. She works out with Lance Leo or has learned to prepare for this day from him. Leah, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell me what it's like to prepare for your first triathlon. What surprised you about it? What's it been like?
So this was my first season doing triathlons. I've done two so far. One I did in Buffalo, Minnesota, and one I did in Winona.
Okay, it's your first season, but you've already got two in the bank.
This is my first season. So I've done two sprints.
Okay.
Those are two halves, not a full one.
Yep.
And this one's coming up as a full one. So that's the mile swim, 25-mile bike, and 60. And it's been crazy, and it's been really fun, and I'm really surprised, like, with my gains over just a short period of time. It's something I never thought I could do, and now I'm waking up at 4:30 in the morning and then going to work afterwards and then working out again, and it's awesome.
How old are you, Leah?
I'll be 30 on the 9th, so the day after the triathlon. I accomplished this by 30.
Is that what you wanted to do? Is that part of the reason that you're doing it now, is that you're going to be 30?
Kind of, yeah. Something I've always wanted to do, so, like, you know, might as well. Before
you get old.
Right.
Yeah. What
have, like, a lot of old people in our our dry crew.
Define old, first of all. Be careful there. Define old.
So, I mean, I'll say that I'm the youngest.
Okay, just leave it at that, all right?
Yes, I'll leave it at that.
But you must be inspired by those that are older that can do it, right?
Oh, my God, incredibly. I mean, I'm just, I cannot imagine how difficult it is. I couldn't imagine before. I never thought I could do this. And now that I'm out there doing it, it's like, you really can do these things. They're not as hard as they look.
It's got isn't that right there, the goal 1, 2, and 3?
That's what we strive for.
Yeah.
You know, Leah, she's one of 500 first-time triathletes. Well, there's 500 first-time Minneapolis triathletes racing on Saturday.
Yeah.
I know Leah's been around the block now, but.
Yeah. Leah, what was the hardest part of it, training?
So a lot of people say the swim, because no one thinks about swimming for a mile, doing the crawl.
Yep.
But for me, the hardest part is the bike, because I'm not a biker. Like, I would see those crazy bikers outside and think they would just look goofy and, like, they would get hit by cars, and I wish they would bike on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
But now I bought one of those super cool, expensive bikes and the expensive
What kind did you buy in terms of advice for people? Because there's a lot of bikes on the road. So
I bought the cheapest road bike that they offered at Now Bikes.
Okay. Good place to start, right?
Yeah, it's a great place.
And what model are you looking for if you want to be in that? What's the perfect?
Well, the one I wanted was about 10 grand.
Okay. So let's work down from there.
So mine was about $600.
That's a decent price, though. You'd expect pretty good performance
600.
From that.
Yeah. Yep. And you can get used ones, too, at, like, Played Against Sports and other places like that. So it's really not too bad.
Scott, what about equipment? What do you advise for people that are going at this for the first time? What is it they need to know?
So there's really only a handful of necessities you need to complete a triathlon. Any kind of swimwear will work. Goggles are mandatory.
They're mandatory.
Well, not mandatory, I should say, but they're highly recommended.
Mm-hmm.
Even a wetsuit is optional. You know, we encourage people to go try on a wetsuit, a short sleeve, a full sleeve, different models, different makes. And some people love the constriction and love the feel of it and the buoyancy that wetsuits create, and some don't. So the only tool you really need is a bike, a helmet, shoes of some sort are highly recommended, both for the bike and the run, and then just some other active outdoor triathlon apparel.
Now, forgive me for being naive here, but after the swim, what is the sequence of events?
So swim, bike, run.
Okay, and do people wear the same clothes in the water that they continue with, or do they change a lot of times?
They do. There's typically no changing. We try to discourage that. And
yeah, you could get into some interesting situations if you started people competitively changing, huh?
Nudity is not allowed.
Yeah.
Against the rules.
Not this year anyway. Yeah.
But we do encourage people to wear what we call triathlon-specific apparel, which is very tight-fitting. It's not loose, baggy. It's not cotton. It's typically nylon.
Under Armour type?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And that's very – it's
a
quick wick,
yeah.
Right? So your sweat, the water just kind of dissipates from your body quickly. And there's special shorts as well. They're not cycling shorts, but they have a really thick padding or a cushion. These are much thinner, and again, they drain water faster, so you're not wearing a soggy diaper through the rest of your day.
Leah, what about the nutrition component? We've talked a lot about the training. How have you tried to – have you changed the way you eat? Is there a diet leading up to?
You know, I think for a lot of I think women in fitness, it's all about trying to lose weight and cut and tone.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, this was really about building strength and kind of allowing myself to eat whatever I want.
Yeah, I like that part of it, because if you're going to train for a triathlon, you got to have a reward, right?
No, I mean, you got to be in shape and muscular to do these. It's not easy, you know, so I kind of eat whatever I want. Stay well-rounded, lots of water. Coffee, yeah, I got to do coffee to wake up.
Me too.
But just eat a lot and drink a lot of fluid.
What about the morning of?
So I read somewhere you want to do a meal 2 hours before a triathlon. So I'll do like probably eggs, maybe 2 eggs and 2 pieces of toast with peanut butter, coffee, orange juice, water, and then maybe like a energy pre-workout type powder.
Sure.
And then they have this like goo gel. It's like basically like frosting that you eat while you're on the bike to give you that little bit of
energy, a little sugar.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm all in. So you, this has really been a fun experience for you.
Yes. I mean, now that I'm getting into it and getting better, I'm getting more competitive. and I want to get a better time.
I was wondering if that kind of took over as, I'm sure, Scott, you're nodding your head. You see this all the time, right?
That's where
first
we
want to just finish, and then we want to finish first.
Ignite that fire.
It kind of becomes an addiction.
What would you tell people that are on the fence and thinking about it? You know, people that are in relatively good shape, but they haven't thought about going that extra mile.
Yeah, so that was me for, I don't know, 10 years. You know, I was an athlete growing up, but I never thought I could do something this big. But what works best is to find a group that you can train with. So like Lance at Lifetime Fitness, he's just so encouraging, and they do like 3 times a week early morning practices. They're at great times, so you get them done early and you can still go to work. And just that accountability and enthusiasm and camaraderie, that's what's key for me. I could not do this by myself. I would not wake up at 4:30 in the morning to go swim in Cedar Lake. And that's what we've been doing.
That's what I was running by today. That's a great lake. But yeah, I wouldn't want to be there at 4:30 in the morning. You get some of those late night skinny dippers from the bar scene, you know?
A lot of pollen.
Yeah.
Too.
Hey, Leo, we appreciate it very much, though. Yeah. Thank you for giving us some time tonight, and congratulations on what you've done, and have fun on Saturday.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Leo Fishman, more with Scott on the Lifetime Fitness Triathlon this Saturday when we come back. Talking triathlons, I'm just fascinated by this. Scott Hootie Hutmacher is in studio with us from Lifetime Fitness. They've got another one coming up here this Saturday. And can people still register for this, Scott?
They can.
Okay.
We have registration open for all distances, all three distances, mplstry.com.
mplstry.com.
Yeah. Tomorrow is our packet pickup at Lake of Tacomas from 12 to 7 p.m. You can walk up and register with us as well.
Now, it sounds to me like you're going to get ideal conditions, at least as a forecast right now. Yeah. What are ideal conditions?
You know, every athlete's different, but low 70s typically, low humidity, a little bit of cloud cover to keep that direct sun off our athletes. That's what we aspire for.
Mm-hmm.
But there are no guarantees.
And what's the most difficult circumstances you've ever seen when you've been running? Downpour, lightning, what do we got?
All of it.
All of the above. Huh?
All of
you've
it.
You've been doing this for, 15 years.
Natural catastrophes who have impact. And, you know, if they pull away fire and police resources, we're not the priority at that point. And that happened in Boulder last year with us. Got through our packet pickup day. We're getting ready for the next morning, and a wildfire started up on the hills.
Sure. They got one right now, by the way, up there in Breckenridge area. Yeah.
So you never know what you're going to get, which is there's so many parallels with triathlon and life. You know,
that's the beauty of it, right? You got to adjust to the fly.
You never know what race day will bring. And hopefully your training, you've gone through all those scenarios, so you're going to be comfortable whatever you're given.
Huh. When people finish for the first time, what does it feel like? What do you see?
Tears,
really?
Typically.
It's that emotional for
smiles, tears, jubilation. Yeah, because
they've conquered self.
That you know, again, bringing it back to a metaphor for life. We're humbled enough to be watching all these individuals who are committing to something that's big. You know, doing a triathlon, just saying those words and committing to it with your peer group, that's a big step. Putting together all the pieces it takes to get to that finish line, training, nutrition, you know, the education, perseverance, dedication, working with your relationships and balancing everything.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're talking about people that are busy and may have a husband or wife and children. And I mean, that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, our lives are centered around convenience now.
Yeah.
And choosing to do a triathlon is anything but, in all honesty. So once you get to that finish line, you see that. You see it. You can look into the eyes of everyone there and the crowds, the spectators. There's this emotional connection that you know something amazing just happened. So it's an amazing experience to be a part of all that.
What other cities are you in?
So we are in Miami, Minneapolis, Austin, Texas, Chicago, New York City next Sunday. We swim in the Hudson if you're around, Mike. San Diego, and then Tempe, Arizona.
In Tempe, Austin, and Miami, are they in winter months, spring months? When are they?
Let's go chronologically. Minneapolis is this weekend. New York is the following. August 27th, Chicago. Tempe is September 17th. Another one in Miami is September 24th. And then we finish San Diego, October 15th.
So you're talking about hot and humid in Miami in September, right?
It can be. It can be.
I mean, that's part of it.
It is. And, that audience is also acclimated and training in those conditions as well.
Sure. How many people do all eight?
You know, I don't know.
Is there a big percentage that do more than one?
We have a select few athletes who do And we're encouraging more so travel across our network. We've changed a couple of our operations, and we're getting ready to come to market with some really big announcements, but we're rebuilding a championship format. So we do want to encourage our athletes to travel the country, race in some amazing destinations, you know, get an experience, sightsee in a place that hopefully never been before, and come away with some pretty cool hardware at the same time.
Where do you run in New York? What's the path?
So New York, we swim in the Hudson.
Yep.
And people freak out when they hear that. The Hudson is safe. It's clean. We always make sure our athletes are in a safe environment. We bike on the West Side Highway, just west on the western edge of Manhattan. And then we run from Riverside Park at 72nd Street directly east into Central Park, do a loop around Central Park, and finish right in the middle of New York City.
Really?
It's beautiful.
Now, that's a major
choreography
with the folks in New York, huh?
And, you know, everything has a story. So New York has been around for 17 years. The only reason that we're allowed to have a race there is because of New York's original bid for the Olympics in 2012. So the city wanted to prove the fact that we could produce a triathlon and not impede the city as it functions around us. And it stuck. 17 years later, it's still one of the most sought-after international distance triathlon in the country.
So that was just shortly before 9/11 that you guys started doing that, huh?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, 9/11 happened a few months later, obviously, but wow. What age group, what is it 25? Is that when people are in their prime? Is that when you see the best scores? Is there a, in life, where are we at our best?
You know, most of the pro athletes are older. And that's what's interesting with triathlon as well. The average age for a triathlete is about 39 years old.
Mm.
And think about that. Most of us didn't have triathlon as the sport as kids.
Correct.
And so we got into this, you know,
after we kind of played out whatever it was we played. Huh?
Exactly. Team sports have kind of got off to the side, and triathlon is an opportunity for you to go do something on your own terms. Again, we encourage the group setting for the motivation and the accountability. Getting people together in a group is incredibly powerful.
If somebody was going to do this for the first time this year, let's just say they're in really good shape, they know that. Would you just encourage them to do the what is the sport version? What's the scale?
So super sprint is the shortest.
Yeah,
the sprint is double.
Is that what you'd try to do if you were them?
If you're a hardcore athlete,
yeah,
I would probably say somewhere right in the middle.
Okay,
because again, your
which
first
would be
experience,
what?
The sprint distance, a half mile swim.
Okay.
About a 15-mile bike, we'll say, and then a 3.1-mile run.
Yeah, I can handle that. Okay.
But again, it's all about intensity.
Yeah, so then it's a question of how much you push yourself.
Correct.
Yeah.
Without doing it for the first time, you've got to figure out where can you push and sustain and do it comfortably. So if you're a strong swimmer, you might have to hold back to save energy for the swim or the bike and the run. Or vice versa, if you're a strong biker, don't overdo it on the swim or the run.
I'm fascinated by it. You guys keep up the great work at Lifetime Fitness because you really are making a difference with people and in their lives and helping curb a lot of issues that don't become issues because of it.
Appreciate that, Mike.
You bet. Scott Hootie Hutmacher. I love that name. In studio, the triathlon coming up this Saturday. You can still register. Go to lifetimefitness.com, I'm sure, and it'll walk you through it, huh, Scott?
MPLSTri.com as well.
MPLS, great. We'll finish up this edition of Sports the Max. We come back. The Maplewood Toyota time is 8:54. Monkees. As good a band as we've seen come through in the last half a century. You agree or disagree, Kev?
Oh, Monkees are solid.
Yeah. Who's your favorite?
Favorite Monkee?
Yeah.
Probably Mike Nesmith.
Yeah, I'd imagine he's kind of an introvert sitting back there, stocking cap.
I always had that toque on, playing his guitar. Yeah,
Davey's too small for you to appreciate.
Yeah. Most talented, least vocal. Yeah.
Peter.
Peter Tork was okay. He was just kind of a weirdo, though. He was always had his hair flipping around all over the place.
Yeah, it was a different time, different era.
Oh yeah, I remember watching that show as a kid. You know?
I remember watching it and thinking this is really cool, and I remember growing up and seeing a repeat of it and saying, how could I have ever watched that?
Yeah, you know,
thought that it was cool.
They're pushing the bed down the street, you know, and all that crap. Yeah, that was.
Just think of what a windfall that must have been for them, though, to get a national TV show like that. If you're a singing group, you know, you're constantly trying to find a different way to.
Right. Every week, your music is going to be on the TV.
And now you're taken by these guys.
Yeah.
You know? And now you're going to go out and think what that did for their brand.
First music videos. I mean,
first
having a TV
videos,
show
in
like
essence,
that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was good stuff. I don't remember another show like that.
No.
Thank God.
Yeah. There was always HR Puffin stuff, though.
Oh, that's don't mess. Hee-haw, whole, I guess whole, Hee-haw had a little bit of it, and you enjoyed Hee-haw.
Yeah, Hee-haw. Oh, Saturday night at my house. Oh, you didn't change the
Clark,
channel.
Was it Clark?
Dick Clark. Dick Clark. No, Dick Roy Clark.
Roy Clark. Roy could pick it.
Yeah. Picking and grinning, baby.
Picking and grinning. And then those babes would pop out of the cornrows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I grew up in a place where we had cornrows like that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Different time, different era, buddy. Different time, different era. Moose Miller is standing by. He's got a very interesting show coming up next on News Radio 830 W.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.